Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, NFL football fans, fantasy football owners. Welcome to another edition of the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show, the show where you get expert fantasy advice for champions. I am your host, Lance Goodman, as always, from NFLExporter.com, and we are on the tail end of wrapping up the 2015/16 fantasy football season. The season is officially over. Week 17 is done. And at this point, you were either a champion or not. And so we got a nice three-part series that we're going to do over the next 3 weeks to bring the official fantasy football season here on NFLExporter.com and the Ultimate Fantasy Experience, as well as the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show. We're going to take the next 3 weeks to thoroughly go recap the 2015 fantasy football season to make sure that everybody is fully in place when we reopen things up back in July, where it all started with fantasy football training camp. We spent all of July, all of August leading up to live drafts, really attacking fantasy football from every angle and perspective that you could imagine. And so I want to make sure that I end the season on a strong note like that as well. As always, the call-in number to the show, 213-626-5762. You know, the official website for the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show, as well as NFL Exporter itself, is www.nflexporter.com. That's spelled NFLExporter.com. Make sure you get a friend request to me over on facebook.com/NFLExporter. We've got close to 2,500 fantasy football owners over there. Again, we started back in July, fantasy football training camp, went hard, and the that group just continued to grow and grow and grow. And we've got a strong following there. Then also, if you're on Twitter, you can also follow me at NFL Exporter. I got to shout out everybody on that Facebook page. We had our first annual NFL Exporter Facebook League. So all the owners in Killer Instinct, all the owners in the War Zone, all the owners in Guts and Glory, certainly got to shout you out. And again, everybody on that Facebook page, congratulations. We had a great season. Certainly put in a lot of work starting back in July. And I've certainly seen owners who were with us doing the mock drafts, participating in all the different activities and drills. It certainly paid off because our goal to start off the year, which was to have a page full of champions, we've certainly been able to do that. We got to get an official post up there. The trophies and the championships are kind of spread around the page, so we'll make sure that we bring that together. Let's go ahead and jump right into the show. Your 2015 all fantasy teams. And so these are the three teams. The first team, all fantasy, at quarterback is Cam Newton of the Carolina Panthers. At the your two running backs are Devonta Freeman of the Atlanta Falcons, Adrian Peterson of the Minnesota Vikings. Your wide receivers are Antonio Brown of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Julio Jones of the Atlanta Falcons. Your tight end is Rob Gronkowski from the New England Patriots. Your defense is the Denver Broncos. Your kicker is Steven Gostkowski of the New England Patriots. Your second all fantasy team for 2015, your quarterback is Tom Brady. Your running backs are Doug Martin and D'Angelo Williams. Martin with the Tampa Bay Bucks, D'Angelo Williams with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Your wide receivers, Brandon Marshall of the New York Jets, Allen Robinson of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Your tight end, Jordan Reed of the Washington Redskins. Your defense special teams, Kansas City Chiefs. And your kicker, Graham Gano of the Carolina Panthers. Third team, all fantasy football, Russell Wilson, quarterback, Seattle Seahawks. Your running backs, how about two rookies? We're talking about Todd Gurley of the St. Louis Rams, David Johnson of the Arizona Cardinals. Your wide receivers, Odell Beckham Jr. of the New York Giants, DeAndre Hopkins of the Houston Texans. Your tight end, Gary Barnage of the Cleveland Browns. Your defense, the Arizona Cardinals. And your kicker, Blair Walsh of the Minnesota Vikings. So those were your first, second, and third teams for fantasy football. Those are the players who were able to come in this year, put up the big numbers. And, man, if you had any combination of those three tiers of players on your fantasy football team, there's a strong chance that you made the playoffs. There's also a very strong chance that you possibly may have won the championships. But again, we know it's not all about the starting lineups. Waiver wires have a huge impact, especially when you start getting into the later weeks where you see some of those tougher matchups. And again, we're really going to, over the next 3 weeks, it was too much information for one show. So I thought it'd be a great way. We're definitely going to get some fans, some owner participation on here. And we've got our official last broadcast. It's going to be Sunday, January 24th. We're doing the Ultimate Fantasy Experience Year-End Awards Party live at Dave & Buster's in Los Angeles, California. We'll be doing our final podcast there, so that's going to be really exciting. All right, look, let's go ahead, hop into some great stuff here. Again, we're going to get things started today by going through each position and kind of breaking down the studs and duds from the 2015 season. When you look at the quarterback position, you're talking about Cam Newton. He was your overall leader in points scored, and he was also your top quarterback, 3,837 yards, threw for 35 TDs, also added on an additional 636 rushing yards and 10 touchdowns. His total was about 40 points, 38 to be exact, better than Tom Brady, who's second behind him. And without question, those rushing yards, those 10 rushing TDs, that is certainly would allow for Cam Newton to distance himself from the rest of the quarterbacks in the pack. I'm going to get into some real in-depth analytics over the next couple of weeks. I'm going to look at the studs and duds from this year. For example, Cam Newton, I'm going to go behind the numbers, take a look at how consistent he was, what weeks he shined, what weeks he struggled. For me, it's all about developing trends, patterns. It really allows for you to understand how you can most effectively draft players and utilize them in week-to-week matchups. But great job by Cam Newton. Again, your top scorer for 2015, your top quarterback. Coming in number two, Tom Brady of the New England Patriots. Brady's a guy that kind of slowly but surely fell off. He was holding on to that top spot, I'd say, for about 12 to 13 weeks of the fantasy football season. In the last few weeks, Cam Newton was able to come up and creep over him. And we actually seen a surge by quite a few quarterbacks. You look talking about Cam Newton, who's one. Russell Wilson ended up number three. Blake Bortles ended up number four. Carson Palmer, five. So Brady got off to a hot start. And look, for Tommy Guns, his numbers are nothing to sneeze at all. Threw the football 624 times. So he was airing it out a lot. 4,770 yards, 36 TD passes. That was tops in the NFL. Only seven interceptions. So Tom Brady's numbers are always gaudy. You love the high touchdown to interception ratio. Also had three rushing touchdowns. You know Tom Brady is going to find a couple quarterback sneaks throughout the year. So great job by Brady. And I'll tell you this, again, he's finishing 38 points behind Cam Newton, who needed 636 yards on the ground and 10 rushing TDs to surpass Brady. We all know that Brady got hit with the injury bug. If it wasn't for losing Deion Lewis and Julian Edelman, you can best believe that Tom Brady would have been your top fantasy quarterback. So great job by Tommy Guns. Coming in at number three, I just alluded to it. It was Russell Wilson of the Seattle Seahawks. He caught fire the second half of the season. I believe over the last 7 weeks, Wilson was good for 24 TD passes, just one interception. Ended the year with over 4,000 yards passing, 34 TD passes. Again, Russell Wilson is a guy you love because of the high touchdown to interception ratio. This was a career year for Wilson in terms of yardage and touchdowns. He had been averaging right around 3,500 yards, 25 TDs, 9 interceptions, turned it up this year. And then the great thing with Russell Wilson, you always know, gave you an additional 503 yards on the ground. Only one rushing TD. You'd have to imagine if he could have got a couple more of those, he probably finished second. That's only 13 points behind Tom Brady. But again, did the damage through the air. Russell Wilson, an elite performer, got up to a slow start compared to how he balled out last year. But again, second half of the season really turned it on. Coming in at number four, how about Blake Bortles of the Jacksonville Jaguars? Breakout season for him. 4,428 passing yards, was tied for second in the NFL with 35 passing TDs, 18 interceptions. Obviously, he's a young guy, so struggled with turnovers quite a bit, but cleaned it up coming down the stretch run. The thing you like about Bortles as well, he can get out and move. 310 rushing yards on only 52 carries, gave you another two rushing touchdowns, so you certainly like that for him. Blake Bortles, a guy who was nowhere in the conversation for being even a top 10 fantasy quarterback, finishes at number four in just his second year. You'd have to say this guy's got a high ceiling ahead of him. Rounding out your top five, Carson Palmer, Arizona Cardinals. Stellar year for Palmer, 4,671 passing yards, 35 touchdown passes, only 11 interceptions. Did find a rushing touchdown. Carson Palmer, a great find in this year's draft. Late round value, potentially a waiver wire pickup. Simply balled out. Rekindled the flame of years past. And I tell you, for a guy that old, he's 38 now, bouncing back from an ACL injury in less than a year, to come back and play that type of football, it was very, very impressive. Number six, Drew Brees of the New Orleans Saints, another guy, got off to kind of a slow start, but by the time the dust settled, led the NFL yet again in passing yards with 4,870. He was money in the playoffs when you needed him most in weeks 14, 15, and 16. Finished with 32 TD passes. Again, you love the low interception ratio, especially for Brees, who was a guy who started to show the tendency of having a lot of turnover. So was able to clean it up. Again, 32 TD passes, 11 picks, also found a rushing touchdown. Nice job by Drew Brees. And I think after going back and looking at the season, again, I'm going to get into these players in depth over the next couple weeks. I think without question, Brees needed some time to make the transition from the weapons that he had, in particularly Jimmy Graham. Once he settled in, that offense got it going. They were definitely one of the top offenses to end the year. Coming in at number seven, Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers. Another nice year for Rodgers. 3,821 passing yards, 31 TDs. He's always in single digits with interceptions, eight. One rushing touchdown. Again, Rodgers, you like the 344 rushing yards. So, again, the ability to get out the pocket, pick up some nice extra yards for you when you need them on the ground. Rodgers struggled quite a bit this year. Again, 31 TDs, 8 interceptions, 3,800 passing yards, nothing to sneeze at. But for Aaron Rodgers, I think we'd all agree that's a tad bit lower than the expectation. He has a very high bar set, but I think without any Jordy Nelson in the mix, you certainly can understand why he struggled and his production dropped off quite a bit. Coming in next, how about Kirk Cousins of the Washington Redskins? This is a guy who really, the last month of the season, absolutely came on strong. You love the numbers for Kirk Cousins, 4,166 yards, 29 TDs, only 11 interceptions. The thing that was impressive about Cousins and helped him get into the top 10, 5 rushing touchdowns. Wasn't a lot of yards, 48, but found the end zone 5 times on the ground. So counted for 34 total touchdowns. And for Kirk Cousins, another guy, there was no mentions of Cousins at all coming into the season, even for cracking the top 10. He certainly did that. I think Jay Gruden in that offense that was able to come to life out in Cincinnati. I think we got a glimpse of what Jay Gruden has in mind. Good to see Kirk Cousins rebound. Rounding out your top 10, it's going to be Matthew Stafford of the Detroit Lions. And I apologize, Stafford's actually number 9. I apologize. Stafford, 4,262 yards. Another guy who got off to an extremely slow start. If you recall, the Lions got off to like an 0-5, 0-6 type start. Just could not pull it together. But after a bye week, came back out. Stafford really played strong the second half of the year. 32 TD passes, only 13 interceptions. He's up over 4,000 yards again. Gave you a rushing touchdown. Nice job by Matt Stafford coming down the stretch run to produce, especially where you picked him up in draft at the level that you'd hoped and expect. Now rounding out your top 10, it's Eli Manning of the New York Giants, one of the true wild cards of this year's draft. Very hard to gauge when Eli Manning was going to produce. A lot of games where the matchups didn't seem favorable, played extremely well. A lot of games where matchups did seem favorable, he struggled. And I think that's been the story of Eli Manning throughout the course of his career. 4,436 passing yards, 35 TD passes, 14 interceptions. Nice year by Eli Manning. Again, a guy you were able to catch in later rounds. He was truly one of those guys that you needed to catch in the right weeks. He's a guy that if you played him in the wrong week, he cost you dearly, but certainly had some huge games, some games that do stand out from thinking back in this year to this year at home against San Francisco, up over 400 yards. Huge game against Carolina Panthers, and also had a very huge game with 6 TD passes playing the New Orleans Saints. So for those of you who had Eli Manning, I'm quite sure you understand what I'm talking about when it was very difficult to gauge when he was going to prosper and play well. Now let's go ahead and take a look at some other quarterbacks who paid some dividends. Phillip Rivers, nice year. He's ranked 11th, 29 TD passes, 13 interceptions, close to 4,800 passing yards. Rivers, definitely a quarterback, and I think that's something we learned about the quarterback position right now, truly matchup-based. Phillip Rivers is a guy who's proven and shown over the last 2.5 to 3 years. When he's up against a stout defense, he's not a guy that you want to touch. But when the matchups are right, Phillip Rivers can still produce at a high level. Next, you got Ryan Fitzpatrick of the New York Jets. I don't think anyone's seen this coming. 3,905 passing yards, 31 TDs, threw three interceptions the final game of the season to really smear his numbers. Had a very nice year. Again, another guy, waiver wire pickup, you know, maybe a late round security blanket. Found Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker early and often, was able to carry that momentum over to the season. Again, a guy who really paid some nice dividends for you as you were heading into the playoffs. Derek Carr of the Oakland Raiders, he's coming in ranked 13th. And for it to be in his second year, 3,987 yards, 32 TD passes, only 13 interceptions. Great job by Derek Carr making a progression in the offseason. Certainly had a couple games in which he struggled, so I think that speaks volumes to how talented this kid is. He's got a number one receiver now in Amari Cooper, and we certainly expect for Derek Carr to get better and better. Next, Jameis Winston. Yes, that's right, the rookie quarterback from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's ranked 14th. And look, through over 4,000 yards, 22 TDs, the 15 interceptions. He's a young guy. You certainly understand that. The thing, if you're kind of noticing the common theme right now that's helping these quarterbacks out, is the ability to get in the end zone running. Gave you another 213 yards and 6 rushing touchdowns to help his cause out. They surround him with some more weapons. He'll learn the game in the offseason much more. I think Jameis Winston's a guy who's got a lot of a high ceiling ahead of him. A couple other guys we want to shout out real quick. We're talking about Alex Smith of the Kansas City Chiefs. I think we all know what Alex Smith is now, patchwork guy. Not going to blow you away with the numbers, only threw 20 TD passes, but the 7 interceptions keeps his numbers right at bay. 498 rushing yards, 2 TDs for Alex Smith. So, again, a guy probably not utilized a lot, maybe in 2 quarterback leagues, but a guy who was a nice backup. You know, I think bye week fill-in, he's a guy that has certainly earned owner's trust. Another guy we want to take a look at is Tyrod Taylor of the Buffalo Bills. Nice job by him in his first year as a starter, and he missed maybe 2 to 3 games due to injury. Threw for over 3,000 yards, 20 TD passes. Had the least amount of interceptions with 6 amongst quarterbacks in the NFL who threw the football over 300 times. The thing you love about Tyrod Taylor is ability to get it done on the ground. 568 rushing yards, 4 rushing touchdowns. Those are certainly numbers that are attractive as well. And then we're moving on. You have to give an honorable mention to Andy Dalton. Missed the last 3, 4, 5 games of the season. Still finished with 3,250 passing yards, 25 TD passes, only 7 interceptions. So Dalton able to get the interceptions and the turnovers down this year, the costly mistakes. Also gave you a nice 3 rushing touchdowns on the ground as well. So I think that is something that you certainly would like to applaud and give some credit to there as well. Now let's move over to some quarterbacks who were not so stellar, definitely weren't impressive in what they did this year. And we're going to talk some busts and disappointment later on in the show. So I'll save it for that. But some guys who stick out in your mind, you're looking at Matt Ryan, 21 TD passes, 16 interceptions. That's certainly not the ratio that's going to get it done. Ben Roethlisberger, he falls in that same category. I think Roethlisberger, 21 TD, 16 interceptions, night and day. When he struck gold, he struck it big, but he certainly had some games in which he struggled. A couple other quarterbacks, I think the expectation was a little bit higher. Teddy Bridgewater, only 14 TD passes on the season. No way that's going to get you into anybody's starting lineup for fantasy football. Colin Kaepernick, Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, Tony Romo, among some of the other disappointments and busts, whether it was due to injury or poor play. And I think that's going to wrap it up. I think that was the quarterback position in a nutshell. Like I said, I'm going to be doing a lot of analytics and some other great research for you guys so we can go behind the numbers and really get a feel for how these players perform. But I think without question, rightfully so, Cam Newton, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, Blake Bortles, Carson Palmer. I got to throw Drew Brees in there as well. Those definitely were the top six quarterbacks in fantasy football. And then ending out the year, Kirk Cousins, Matthew Stafford. Those are some guys who certainly were picking up steam and playing very good as well. All right, look, we're going to run to our first break. When we come back, let's move over to the running back position. You're listening to the NFL Exporter. It's the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show, the show where you get expert fantasy advice for champions. All right, everyone, welcome back to the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show. As always, I'm your host, the NFL Exporter, Lance Goodman. You are listening to part one of a three-part series for our year-end fantasy football breakdown. Again, we had a great time in fantasy football training camp back in July, so I definitely want to make sure that we end the season on a strong note and make sure that everybody is ready for this upcoming season. So give me a quick second here. Just had one quick adjustment that we needed to make. All right, there we are. Apologize about that. You know how it is in the world of technology. It's our best friend, but at times it can kind of move at its own rate. All right, let's get back into the show. Again, you're listening to the official 2015-16 year-end fantasy football show with the NFL Exporter, and we're talking running backs now. Your top running back in fantasy football, he pretty much led all year. From the time that Devonta Freeman burst onto the scene with a huge, I believe that was a week four performance against the Dallas Cowboys, got off to a hot start. And I think if you look at his yardage from a rushing standpoint, it was a bad year for running backs in the NFL. There were only six running backs who ran for 1,000 yards. Freeman, one of those backs, 1,056. But it was the 11 touchdowns. And then also from a PPR standpoint, 73 receptions. That's very, very impressive. That is only second behind Danny Woodhead, who had 81. So, again, the value in PPR for those two guys through the roof. But Devonta Freeman certainly turned out to be the all-purpose threat. You're talking about 1,600-plus all-purpose yards, 73 receptions, 14 total touchdowns. And he was able to get ahead early, and despite even missing the game and struggling a tad bit down the stretch as far as putting up some of those gaudy numbers that he did when he was on the tear for about maybe 3, 4, or 5 weeks in a row before teams kind of finally slowed him down and really before he caught that concussion. But great job, Devonta Freeman. Certainly was one of your breakout players this year, and I think he's a guy who's going to be very highly coveted when you look at this year's upcoming draft. Coming in next, it was Adrian Peterson of the Minnesota Vikings. Peterson led the NFL in rushing yet again, 1,485 yards, was tied for tops in the NFL with 11 rushing touchdowns, along with Devonta Freeman, D'Angelo Williams, and Jeremy Hill. We know that Peterson is not a threat in the air, didn't have any receiving touchdowns, only 30 catches for 222 yards, but he's still the best pure runner in the NFL. I think Le'Veon Bell is a guy that you're certainly looking at right there, kind of staring him in the face with his ill running style. But Adrian Peterson, again, one of the best in the business, 30 years old, didn't slow him down a bit. AP still going strong. I think one of the most reliable fantasy running backs that you're still going to find in the NFL. Coming in at number three, how about a great bounce back year for Doug Martin and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? This is a guy who we certainly called out on the Facebook page early. I know to a lot of owners, happiness and satisfaction. When you looked at Martin, it was about being healthy. He was in the contract year, having a rookie quarterback, being able to get the full workload. And that's something that we've definitely seen in fantasy football this year. A guy could be working at Burger King today, but if he's going to suit up and he's going to get a heavy volume of work, you're talking 20 to 25 plus touches during a football game, he's going to produce. That's just the way it works. And so nice job by Doug Martin, finished second in the NFL with 1,402 rushing yards, six rushing touchdowns, and only one receiving touchdown. He is a nice threat out of the backfield, but Charles Sims is a nice change of pace guy who's got some nice flex appeal, who's on Tampa Bay as well. So they work him in. I'm quite sure if he wasn't there, Martin potentially could have some more catches. But in the bigger scheme of things, again, Doug Martin able to provide you with over 1,600 all-purpose yards. It's just a low touchdown total, only seven touchdowns. You figure if those numbers bump out to double digits, he'd probably be right there with Adrian Peterson, who he's 40 points behind. Peterson with five more rushing touchdowns on the season. Coming in at number four, how about D'Angelo Williams of the Pittsburgh Steelers? You want to talk about a guy having a late in his career resurgence. I thought his days were done. Did not play extremely well in Carolina the last few years, struggling with injuries, splitting time with John Stewart. The running game just not clicking there. But it's like this guy was reborn again this year. And with the absence of Le'Veon Bell, who went down to injury, D'Angelo Williams came in. And, again, if you were to stretch his numbers out over a 16-game season, he'd be your top running back in fantasy football by far. Only needed 200 carries to get 907 yards rushing, 11 rushing touchdowns. Also had 40 catches out of the backfield for 367 yards. And so for a guy that was a handcuff or a waiver wire pickup or a late-round stash, he really, really came up big and gave owners some true stability at the running back position, especially if you were a guy who got caught up with a running back who got injured, you know, like a Jamal Charles, like a Le'Veon Bell, or a guy who just couldn't get it together. You know, maybe Marshawn Lynch, Shady McCoy, he certainly spent a lot of time injured to start the year also. Great job by D'Angelo Williams. I think it's going to be interesting to see how and if Pittsburgh uses him next year. Todd Gurley, The St. Louis Rams, coming in at number five. Strong campaign by the rookie. I really like what I've seen out of Gurley. Look, he missed four games in his first start, which was game number five, or I should say his first action. They got his feet wet. He really didn't play that much, but from the time he started, so you're talking about 10 games, Gurley is up over 1,100 yards, 10 rushing touchdowns. Also shows some nice hands to be a young back. 21 catches, 188 yards. Very impressive for the rookie. 4.5 yards per carry, so he's getting it done on the ground. Big playability, and Todd Gurley is certainly a guy that you're going to see as a top 10 fantasy running back coming into next season. Very impressive. Got off to a very hot start with those first four games where he's up over 100 yards, and I like the fact that in the playoffs he was able to bounce back for you. Had some nice games at home against Detroit, against Tampa Bay, and then was able to come through for you on the road at Seattle in Week 16. I think that was the key matchup that a lot of owners were worried about, and he was still able to come through with double digits for you. Coming in at number six, Lamar Miller of the Miami Dolphins. And again, this was a year that the numbers were down. 872 rushing yards, that's not what you want from an NFL running back, but did get you eight rushing touchdowns. Also had a nice 47 catches for 397 yards and two TDs. So in the bigger scheme of things, again, I think now when you look at fantasy football, you have to factor in all-purpose numbers. You look at Lamar Miller, he's giving you over 1,200 yards, he's got 10 touchdowns. That's what's got him ranked number six in fantasy football this year. You want to talk about how much touchdowns matter. How about David Johnson, the rookie running back for the Arizona Cardinals, another breakout candidate? I think if he gets the full workload and is designated starter, like fellow rookie Todd Gurley, he's going to be a guy that's going to be ranked inside of the top 10s for running backs next year, and rightfully so. Got the job done, 581 yards on the ground, eight rushing touchdowns, but you like for his size and his bruising running style. Nice set of hands, 36 catches, 457 yards receiving, and gave you four receiving touchdowns. So again, 1,000 all-purpose yards plus 12 touchdowns. That's what's going to get the job done. I really like David Johnson and the fit that he is in that explosive Arizona Cardinals offense. Coming in at number eight, who else but Raffin Forte, another great year for Matt Forte. Again, let's look at the all-purpose yards, 898 on the ground, 389 in the air. That means 1,200-plus yards. Again, the only problem I have with Matt Forte is the low touchdown totals. He's a guy who just cannot stay in the end zone enough. That's really been my only knock with Forte when I pick him in fantasy football. He's just a guy who just does not get in that end zone a lot. Those seven TDs. And look, he performed really well. Had an injury that nicked him up for a couple weeks. Got into a bit of a timeshare. But I really like Matt Forte. Probably his last year in Chicago. I think he's a guy that can go somewhere and still pay dividends. But I think we've probably seen the last of Matt Forte as being a beast in fantasy football. Probably won't be in the top 10 next year due to how I expect for the for the rankings to change a bit. But I think if he's with the right team, maybe like a Frank Gore went to Indianapolis this year, I think that he can still be a very effective ball player. Coming in at number nine is Chris Ivory of the New York Jets. This is a guy who got to a very fast start, and just kind of slowly but surely withered away towards the end of the season, became very unreliable for fantasy owners. Now, look, 1,070 yards, you certainly like that. Again, this was a year, I must emphasize, we only had six running backs even be able to touch 1,000 yards. Or I apologize, seven. I'm looking at that wrong. Yep, I apologize. Darren McFadden was able to get on the last game of the season. But only seven out of 32 teams had a 1,000-yard rusher. That's pretty pathetic to me. And, again, Ivory, we'll take the 1,070 yards, the seven TDs. He also was able to get you 217 receiving yards and a touchdown. So, again, over 1,200 yards, eight total TDs. That's what has Chris Ivory inside of his top 10. Last but not least, to round out your top 10, we're talking about Danny Woodhead of the San Diego Chargers. You know that he's a guy who's all about PPR value. When you talk about 81 catches from the running back position, that's more than a lot of wide receivers in the NFL. Got you 756 receiving yards, six TDs, and then coming out of the backfield, still rushed the football for 335 yards and three TDs. So again, it's the complete body of work. You're talking about 1,100 all-purpose yards, nine TDs. Danny Woodhead, fast start, bottomed out in the middle, but came back and gave you a couple games at the end. Not quite sure if you were able to catch him due to the inconsistency. After him, some running backs who certainly I don't think they disappointed, but you expected a little more out of. I'm talking about Latavius Murray of the Oakland Raiders, Frank Gore of the Indianapolis Colts, Darren McFadden of the Dallas Cowboys. Now, look, with Murray and Gore, both these guys, the expectations were much higher. Murray, 1,066 yards. Gore came up just short, 33 yards short of another 1,000-yard season. Both of these guys, though, Latavius Murray, 1,300 all-purpose yards. Frank Gore, 1,200-plus all-purpose yards. But it's the low touchdown totals. That scares you away from these fantasy players. It makes a huge difference in fantasy stats. I just told you how Lamar Miller rushed for less yards than these guys. David Johnson rushed for a whole lot less than these guys. But again, the all-purpose ability, Murray and Gore, not guys doing a lot of damage out of the backfield, and then the low touchdown totals. And so I think for where you drafted Latavius Murray and Frank Gore, you'll certainly live with the numbers they put up. But these were guys that you had to catch in the right week, just not consistent enough to get the job done and probably hurt you as much as they helped you. And then Darren McFadden. I really like the season McFadden had, 1,089 rushing yards, only three TDs. That's really a number that you circle in red and say if he can get that number up, then he certainly would have been higher up the charts. Also showed some nice hands, 40 catches, 328 yards, but three touchdowns is not going to get the job done. Now, we know that Darren McFadden's a guy who came on late. Joe Randall was the starter there. McFadden took over maybe about the sixth week of the season, but came on strong, and he's a guy, another guy, that if you project his numbers out over a 16-game season, he'd be close to leading the NFL in rushing. Again, right now, he's only about 400 yards behind Adrian Peterson, and he's got 100 less carries, about 100 less carries, and again, did not really start getting the pill on a consistent basis till around week six. So nice job by Darren McFadden. He's a guy I've got on my radar coming into next season. Here's how you can compare and contrast. A guy like Jeremy Hill, 794 rushing yards, only 79 receiving yards, with 12 total touchdowns. That lets you know how much touchdowns is the key in fantasy football. That those 6 points are going to help your running back or your position player on any given Sunday bump the numbers up into double digits, and that's what gets the win. And so Hill, certainly a disappointment. I think you can look at him as a bust, but the 12 touchdowns, the 11 rushing touchdowns that was tied for the NFL lead, that's what has us mentioning his name. Mark Ingram, he was having a very solid campaign when he left out of the lineup. That was about week maybe 13 for the New Orleans Saints. He had 769 rushing yards, I believe. I think, and if we look at the matchups at the end of the season, look at what Tim Hightower did against Tampa Bay, against Detroit, against Jacksonville, against Atlanta. I don't think there's any question that Mark Ingram would have been up over 1,000 yards rushing. He had 769 at the time of his injury. You like the six TDs, but showed the nice versatility. I did not expect for him to do as much damage as he did in PPR. Caught 50 out of 60 targets for 405 yards. Mark Ingram, if he's back to full health, I think he's another guy that's going to be a top 10 running back next year. Jonathan Stewart, finally healthy for the majority of the year. Look, it's a part of his DNA. Got got hurt at the worst time, though. I believe going into the playoffs is when Jonathan Stewart got hurt. When he got hurt, he was right on the verge, and he's another guy that really could have been up towards the leaders for rushing. When he stopped playing, 989 rushing yards. So he would have had 1,000, probably would have been up towards 1,200 rushing yards, maybe 8 or 9 to 10 TDs. He finished with 989 yards, 6 TDs, had 99 receiving yards and a touchdown. That's really not his forte, but a nice job by Jonathan Stewart. At least we were able to get him for the duration of the season. It's much better than before, but again, losing him at the end of the season, especially if you couldn't pick up a David Johnson or a D'Angelo Williams or a Tim Hightower to fill in. That one certainly hurt. A couple other guys I want to show at you, Shady McCoy of the Buffalo Bills, battled injuries all year long, still was able to give you over 1,000 all-purpose yards. He's up towards maybe 1,150 to 1,200. Only 5 touchdowns. That's the number that hurts. 3 rushing touchdowns for Shady McCoy, not getting a job done, being vultured again. We've seen rookie Carlos Williams get a lot of those totes. And again, it hurt LeSean McCoy's numbers. But again, injuries more than anything. When he was healthy, we've seen him rip off about 5 straight games where he was 100 all-purpose yards. And that's the LeSean McCoy that we know. DeMarco Murray, huge disappointment this year for the Philadelphia Eagles. Still managed 702 rushing yards. It seemed like he only had maybe about 100. And again, he gave you 1,000 all-purpose yards. I think for a guy that was not utilized, a guy who was utilized in the wrong way, you look at DeMarco Murray, it's probably about 200 less carries than he had last year for Dallas, but, you know, still was able to give you, you know, 1,024 all-purpose yards and 7 TDs. So for all reasons, I think that you give him, a slight pass, and I think coming into the next season, depending on who the coach is, what scheme they have, we could very well see DeMarco Murray emerge as a top 10 and 12 running back again. Ronnie Hillman, he was another handcuff, 863 yards, 7 rushing TDs. 111 yards out of the backfield. Again, that's really not his forte. I think all things considered, had a nice year. But again, the guy who struggled mightily at times, had some issues with fumbling the football. And again, consistency. That's the thing you look for in fantasy football. And it was very difficult. Now, he went through a stretch period, maybe around weeks 5 or I want to say he had like a 5 out of 6 games in the middle of the season where he did find double digits. But the thing that made you lose trust in him is he needed touchdowns in those games to pump of his points. If he didn't find end zone, he was a guy that was always going to be around 4 to 6 yards because of Denver's issues with the offensive line in the passing game, and that's what made him extremely risky. Rashard Jennings, he's another guy I think was a letdown. So ironic how the Giants all of a sudden, when their season was over, you know, wanted to start feeding him, and he had a couple huge games at the end of the year. But all in all, a guy you could not trust, got to an extremely slow start before his strong finish over the last 3 to 4 weeks. You know, he came in with single digits, and I'm talking about low digits, 4 and 5 and 3. Did that for about a month and a half straight. You completely burn your owners, and you find yourself not in the lineup. Rashard Jennings did have over 1,000 all-purpose yards. He's another guy, though. The low touchdown totals just make him very unattractive. As we move down the list, just a little bit more, some other guys that throw at you. Giovanni Bernard, Charles Sims, both of those guys did a lot of damage in the air. Now, Bernard did have over 1,100 all-purpose yards, but 2 touchdowns. Again, that number is not going to cut it. I talked about Charles Sims being that change of pace back in Tampa Bay. Strong year for him. Look, Charles Sims had over 1,000 all-purpose yards, 500 on the ground, 500 through the air, 4 receiving TDs. So I like Charles Sims an awful lot. And that change of pace that he brings to Tampa Bay, you're talking about 2 running backs now for Tampa Bay. 1,000-plus all-purpose yards, that's very impressive. Jeremy Langford, Thomas Rawls, another couple rookies who did a lot of good things for you when they were in your lineup. Jeremy Langford looks like he could be a guy my goodness, Todd Gurley and David Johnson, who could be looming right around that top 10 to 12 next year, if he's going to get the full workload. And that be interesting to see what Seattle does with Thomas Rawls. We know that the beast Marshawn Lynch is the head honcho there. They paid him a new contract. But I have a feeling with these running backs, I'm going to be talking about that in some other segments over the next couple of weeks. I think we're going to see a lot of these teams, and it's going to force you in your draft to have to handcuff and to have to get both running backs, because with all the injuries, especially this year, I think teams are going to look to manage their running backs a little bit better. Some other guys we'll throw at you real quick for various reasons. Eddie Lacy, certainly was one of your bust candidates this year. Carlos Williams, on the other hand, for the Buffalo Bills, 9 total touchdowns. He got off to a nice start. T.J. Yeldon, he got the full workload, 1,000 all-purpose yards for him. The low TD totals in 3. That's what kind of kept him from being higher, but he's certainly a guy who did some good things for you, and you expect for him to grow and get better with that Jacksonville offense. C.J. Anderson, another bust candidate, 5 touchdowns on the year. That's not going to get it done. A far cry from the damage that he did last year. And then, you know, injuries really hurt a lot of owners this year. Alfred Morris, a guy not injured, but again, 1 touchdown all year. That's absolutely unacceptable. Again, I'm going to come back to the running back position over the next couple weeks and really get in depth. But that's going to wrap up the running back section for this show here. We're going to run to another quick commercial break. Look, it's the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show. You're listening to part 1 of our year-end wrap-up. It's the NFL Exporter. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. We'll move over and talk wide receivers. All right, everyone, welcome back to the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show. As always, I'm your host, the NFL Exporter himself, Lance Goodman, and this is the place where you get expert fantasy advice for champions. I'm certainly going to shout out everybody who was able to bring in a championship, myself included this year. We had a banner year on NFL Exporter, and congratulations. This was a probably the most challenging year in a long time when you look at the way that injuries really had an impact on the season. So if you were able to make it through to the championship and bring the gold home, we send a big-time shout-out and salute to you. And then, look, if you came up short, second place, you know, third place, fourth place, you just missed your shot this season, then great job as well. Use it for fuel and motivation to make sure that you're back in that same position next year and able to capitalize. Look, let's go ahead now and move over to the wide receiver position. And again, I apologize, just have a quick break here to get something straight. All right, we're back in the fold. So now let's go ahead and talk wide receivers, your top wide receiver for fantasy football. How about Antonio Brown? Once again, Pittsburgh Steelers. I think this is something that we've all come accustomed to. And let's do this. Let's compare and contrast him and Julio Jones. Those were your top two receivers this year. Only 12 points separated these gentlemen. It was a touchdown total. You look at both of their numbers. Both led the NFL, tied for the NFL lead with 136 receptions. Antonio Brown had 1,834 yards, Julio Jones 1,871. The difference in those 12 points was Antonio Brown's 2 more touchdowns. He also had 2 2-point conversions. And so, and actually, yeah, I apologize. And then for a league that counts punt returns, but I think in particularly it's the 2 touchdowns and the 2 2-point conversions. Those are what separated those gentlemen. If you had either one of those guys on your team, unstoppable. Probably both had maybe about 3 games on the season where they just, I don't even want to say they didn't show up. Things just didn't go their way. But these are guys who I think coming back next year are going to be in that same position. It was a joy watching those guys play. Big-time fantasy receivers certainly had a huge impact on your season. The wide receiver position, unlike the running back position, exploded this year. And I think in the league now that we know is a passing league, there is a heck of a lot of talent at the wide receiver position, a class that coming in next year that is so deep that it's still going to force that running back position to be key, because you can truly pick it, look at your pick of the litter. I'm looking at maybe a good 15 players in front of me without even scrolling down the screen that had over 1,000 yards. So let's get into it. Again, I think with Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, you know exactly who they are, what they can do for you, what they bring to the table. You have them in your lineup weekly. You're extremely confident because you know that these guys are going to get the targets. And when I'm looking at their targets, outside of DeAndre Hopkins, these guys by far, Julio Jones led the NFL with 204, Antonio Brown 195, DeAndre Hopkins had 192. From there, the next closest guy is 176, 174. So you're talking about 20 more targets for those guys. Let's get it started, man. Brandon Marshall, you know what? I think he's probably the one player that when people look back on their draft, and let me rephrase that, one of the top players that owners, when they look back on their draft, myself included, from where you were able to land him, how productive and consistent he was all year long. Brandon Marshall was a guy that just made you drool. You're sitting there saying to yourself, boy, I really wish I would have drafted Brandon Marshall. How about 109 catches, 1,502 yards, tied for the NFL lead with 14 touchdowns? I mean, he was an absolute monster this year. Brandon Marshall, very impressive, only 20 points off of Antonio Brown for being the top receiver in fantasy. And so reestablished himself as one of the top receivers in the NFL. And I think if the Jets retain Ryan Fitzpatrick, you certainly expect for Marshall to continue to play at a high level. He's certainly got a lot left in the tank. Allen Robinson is going to be right there with the likes of Blake Bortles, with the likes of Devonta Freeman, when you're talking about breakout candidates of the year. 80 catches for 1,400 yards. Big-time ability. Did you hear that? 1,400 yards on only 80 catches. This guy, high yards per catch average. That's what you like about Allen Robinson, right around 17 yards per catch. And we've seen him do it in a multitude of different ways. He's a big-time presence in the red zone, again, tied for the NFL lead with 14 receptions. But we've seen him, you know, a 90-yard touchdown. We've seen him, you know, making big plays in the red zone. So he's a guy that I think, without question, you're going to be looking at next year inside of the top 10, growing with Blake Bortles. You just wonder with these Jacksonville Jaguars players, you know, how much better can they get to be in only his second year and put up those type of numbers? You've got to be impressed. Another second-year player who balled out, did his thing, really solidified himself as not being a one-hit wonder. We're talking about Odell Beckham Jr. of the New York Giants. And if it weren't for the game that he was suspended, he's only 1 point behind Allen Robinson, 15 points behind Julio Jones, only 6 points behind, 12 points behind Brandon Marshall. If I think for Odell Beckham Jr., if he doesn't miss that game against Minnesota, he's probably ranked inside of the top three. 96 catches, 1,450 yards, 13 touchdowns, probably would have led the NFL in touchdown receptions. You have to be impressed with this young man. We know there's certainly there's some off-the-field issues that he's got to get together. But when you talk about pure talent, when you're talking about being a target monster, when you talk about a guy that you feel very comfortable and secure putting in your lineup on a weekly basis, Odell Beckham Jr. is certainly that guy. Coming in at number six, how about DeAndre Hopkins of the Houston Texans? He got the job done this year, did it for me. My only concerns with Hopkins were the quarterback throwing him the football, and he was another guy whose numbers have been down quite a bit due to the low touchdown catch total. Handled all of that this year, 111 in catches, 1,521 receiving yards, 11 receiving TDs on 192 carries. DeAndre Hopkins, he's a certified beast now. If they get him a big-time quarterback, I mean, again, you look at the gaudy numbers, I don't know how much better the numbers can get for these guys, but you certainly expect for Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Brandon Marshall, who's up in age a little bit, but Allen Robinson, Odell Beckham Jr., DeAndre Hopkins, all of those guys, young and fruitful in the prime of their careers, you expect for their numbers to loom around what you're seeing this season for quite some time. How about Doug Baldwin of the Seattle Seahawks? He's going to be a very interesting prospect coming into next year. Came on late, 11 touchdowns in his last 5 to 6 games, cracked a 1,000-yard barrier, but those 14 touchdowns, that's what got the job done for Doug Baldwin. You see, the yardage wasn't quite as gaudy as a Julio or a Brandon Marshall. Really, those top six receivers, everybody's up over 1,400 yards. So Baldwin, about 400 to 500 less yards, but the 14 touchdowns, that's what gets the job done. I think we're all anxious to see, was this just this year, or has Doug Baldwin become the official number one receiver and go-to guy in Seattle? If so, I think it bodes well. I like the chemistry I see between him and Russell Wilson. A.J. Green, he comes in next. Another banner year for A.J. Green. 86 catches, 1,297 yards, 10 TDs. It's what we've become accustomed to. A.J. Green, one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, and because of that, defenses always make it a focal point to try to take him out first and foremost. So he's going to have some games where he doesn't put up the big numbers, but he's another guy, model of consistency, and in the right matchup, he will certainly dominate. Eric Decker, the other receiver for the New York Jets, 80 catches, 1,027 yards, 12 TD receptions. Excellent job working opposite Brandon Marshall. That combination was tossing the NFL. Coming down the stretch run, you were just supremely confident with Eric Decker in your lineup. Another guy, late round value, waiver wire pickup, big time dividends, especially the second half of the season. You were playing him with big time confidence. A couple of veterans here now for you next. Larry Fitzgerald, outstanding year for Fitzy. A buck, 109 catches, 1,215 yards, 9 TDs. That's impressive. I like those numbers by Larry Fitzgerald, who, you know, we kind of thought, and it appeared that maybe the best days were behind Larry, but as long as Carson Palmer's there throwing the football accurately, Larry Fitzgerald is going to eat. And again, those are gaudy numbers. I like those numbers by Larry Fitzgerald. Again, late round or later round value. Man, he just really impressed me this year. I love Larry Fitzgerald. Calvin Johnson, 88 catches, 1,214 yards, 9 TDs. I can't complain with that. I mean, I think Calvin Johnson, you looked at his schedule, the way the defenses are going to play him tough. You look back on it now, you know, playing against the Vikings, they're a top-ranked defense. He drew Patrick Peterson. He drew Richard Sherman. He drew Aqib Talib. I mean, this guy had some very, very tough matchups. But Calvin still gave you 88 catches, 1,214 yards, 9 TDs. That's excellent. Again, it was about matchups, but especially in the second half of the season when Matt Stafford got on track, Calvin Johnson was right there catching a lot of those footballs as well. Brandon Cooks, another guy you're looking at as a breakout candidate. He's a guy that got to a very slow start, but as Drew Brees found his groove and the Saints offense got on track and kind of found an identity for himself, Brandon Cooks really took off. 84 catches, 1,138 yards, 9 touchdowns, the big playability downfield. Brandon Cooks now is a guy that I think as long as Drew Brees is there, if they can bring those pieces back, he's got the big-time speed and ability to get downfield. That's what Drew Brees likes to do. Brandon Cooks earned owner's trust down the stretch and was a guy who, if you had him in your lineup, with the exception of a couple matchups, and again, that's for any fantasy player, all things considered, especially after that slow start in which Cooks maybe didn't even touch double digits till about week 5. Man, he certainly turned it on late and did some nice things for you. Demaryius Thomas, you know, he's a guy, and here's the evidence again, where touchdowns really matter. 105 catches for 1,304 yards. Anybody's going to take that from a NFL football or fantasy football standpoint, but only 6 touchdowns. So, again, if he's up, you know, 10, 12 TDs, that elevates him up this ladder. But, again, I think for Demaryius Thomas, we've seen the troubles Peyton Manning went through. Brock Osweiler trying to get his feet wet. You know, Denver went through quite a few shuffles with just trying to get some continuity on that offense. But a nice year by Demaryius Thomas, who just needed some touchdowns to really bump his numbers up a notch. Another guy who played well. And again, this is what we can tell. This is where we can show you. Allen Hurns. Look, Allen Hurns had 40 less catches, 41 to be exact, only 64. He had about 300 less yards than Demaryius Thomas with 1,031. But the 10 TD receptions is what's got him only 1 point behind Demaryius Thomas. So again, you really have to take that into consideration when you play fantasy football. It's about getting in the end zone. That's what ultimately is going to get the job done. Here's a perfect example again, Jarvis Landry. The numbers are very stacked. 111 catches. Excellent. This guy is going to be one of your top receivers for PPR. You were with us for NFLExporter.com coming into the season. That's exactly where we had him on our list as a PPR diamond in the rough or a potential big-time player. 111 catches, 1,159 yards, but again, 4 receiving touchdowns. That low total is what's got him further down the list. If you can imagine him and Demaryius Thomas with double digits, that would certainly elevate those guys right to the top 10. It doesn't stop there. I got 3 more receivers for you who brought in 1,000 yards. I'm talking about Sammy Watkins of the Buffalo Bills. Came on strong, and you can look and see here, by far, the least amount of catches. Only 60 catches he needed for 1,047 yards. Watkins, very explosive, a guy who can beat you downfield in a blink of an eye. And again, his 9 receiving TDs, that's what got him bumped up. Sammy Watkins now is a guy, him and Tyrod Taylor getting that chemistry going in the offseason. He is going to certainly be on people's radar coming in the next year. Jeremy Maclin, nice year for him in Kansas City. Was a little bit shaky in the beginning. Had some games, I'd probably say through his first eight games, four games where certainly not going to really help you get a win in fantasy football, although maybe respectable, 5 or 6 points. But once that game came against Buffalo, where he had 9 catches, 160 yards, and a touchdown, that was his breakout game. And from there, him and Alex Smith connected, finished the season strong, 87 catches, 1,088 yards, 8 TDs. If you recall, Kansas City to a wide receiver next year. So I think it's very safe to say that Jeremy Maclin earned his payday, and now they've got a weapon in Kansas City that they know that they have, and I expect for him to do much better coming out the gates. Although, again, it's about matchups. He played Denver's defense, Jonathan Joseph. He had some tough matchups out the gate, but I like what Jeremy Maclin was able to do to you. And then, again, it was quiet, but Emmanuel Sanders, again, him and Demaryius Thomas, both over 1,000 yards, 76 catches, 1,135 yards, only 6 TDs. That's the number that has Sanders a little bit down on the charts, but you certainly like what he did for you this year. Again, you just had to catch these guys in the right week. You know, I think with some of these receivers we talked about, some inconsistency at quarterback, and again, we're learning now it's all about matchups. It's no longer just stick a guy in and he's there for the whole, year. And regardless of who the player is, if it's not the right matchup, he very well may struggle. I'm going to throw a couple other receivers at you. Again, for all the positions, wide receiver included, I'm going to be spending in the next few weeks before we wrap up on our wrap-up show January 24th on the Facebook page. And that's where you need to get with me at, facebook.com/NFL Exporter. If you go to NFLExporter.com, I've got the icons right at the top of the page. Click on them. They're direct links. Let those get with us on Facebook, because that's where we're going to do a lot of wrap-up and year-end work and damage, because that's where we started the season. But some other receivers, I like what they did for you this year. Michael Crabtree, 922 yards on 85 catches, 9 TD receptions. That was unexpected. Great year for him. T.Y. Hilton, numbers weren't that great, but still got 1,124 yards for you. John Brown of the Arizona Cardinals, he's another guy that was able to break 1,000 yards for you. Amari Cooper, 1,000 yards plus in his first year. Mike Evans, only 3 TD receptions, so a huge disappointment, but still 74 catches for 1,206 yards. All right, look, let's run to another quick break. And again, I'm going to talk about some other receivers at another time. They're certainly disappointed. So you'll want to make sure you keep abreast on the NFL Exporter website. Get with us on Facebook and Twitter so you can keep up, because it's just too much. There's not enough time in the show to really for me to dig into this stuff the way I need to. But our huge fan base is over on Facebook as well as Twitter. So that's where we're going to make sure, because we like to hear from you, the fans and the owners. You are the ones that make everything work. I am yours, the NFL Exporter. Look, fantasy advice for champions, that is the motto. We brought championships in again this year. Let's run to another quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show. It's the Extra Points, NFL Exporter. Don't go anywhere. All right, everyone, welcome back to the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show. I'm your host, the NFL Exporter. Again, make sure to go visit NFLExporter.com. That's the official home and hub for the NFL Exporter. A lot of the all of the work, I should say, that I do is up on that website. We also keep a lot of creative other information and updates on the website as well. And then, again, Facebook.com, can't emphasize it enough. That is the place where you want to be to keep up with us. We're going to be doing a lot of year-end work for fantasy football. We started in fantasy football training camp back in July. Once again, I've got to shout out everybody on that Facebook page. Those guys did a great job over there. Really an exciting time for us. And, man, we're going to make sure we end the season right. And we're going to be fully prepared, make sure everybody's on the same page. So when we come back this July, we're going to be ready to go back in. Let's go ahead now and take a look at your top tight ends in fantasy football. Once again, Rob Gronkowski of the New England Patriots led all tight ends with 1,176 receiving yards, had 11. He was tied for the league lead amongst tight ends. And I apologize, he wasn't. He had 11 TD receptions, but 176 yards by Gronkowski. Missed 2 games with a knee injury, or I should say missed a game with a knee injury. I think owners right now, you look at coming in the next year, and as much as he is the top tight end, and we have been seeing him drafted in the top rounds, you're going to see a shift now, because when you look at these other guys I'm about to go through now, and it's a deep enough class. Before, it was kind of Gronkowski, Jimmy Graham, Julius Thomas. You were rushing to get those guys because there was such a huge discrepancy. But with the league becoming more passing, and a lot of these quarterbacks not having a lot of weapons at the wide receiver position, you've seen these top-notch tight ends emerge, and there's a lot more to go around now. So I think it's going to balance leagues out, and it's going to take a guy like Rob Gronkowski out of the first round, because no longer are you going to be in dire straits for a tight end. And let's go ahead and talk about some of these other guys who played at a high level. Jordan Reed of the Washington Redskins, he was hot, red hot for you in your playoffs. You're talking about weeks 13, 14, 15, 16, was the leader at the tight end position in three out of those 4 weeks, and really came on strong. 87 catches, that was 15 more than Gronkowski, only 952 yards, but 11 TD receptions. He's Kirk Cousins' money guy, and I think if Cousins comes back, you all of a sudden see Jordan Reed take a huge leap of the tight end rankings. He's a guy who struggled with health, but he certainly showed the ability, and I can tell this kid has the work ethic and hunger. We'll all be excited to see how much better he can get in the offseason. Number three, Gary Barnidge. Where did Gary Barnidge come from? I don't think any of us know, but once he came on the scene, he did not leave. Mr. Barnidge was matchup proof, was able to do well despite playing the Rams, Arizona, and Seattle in three straight weeks. Just a big-time player. You like what Gary Barnidge did. Look, 79 catches. That was seven more than Gronkowski. Cracked 1,000 yards with 1,043, 9 TD receptions on 123 targets. Who knows who's going to be the quarterback there next year? So that could put a little bit of a cloud around Gary Barnidge, but he's a guy who's emerged and is certainly going to be on owner's radar. Greg Olsen of the Carolina Panthers, another banner year for him. Just continues to put up better and better numbers. Now, look, had 13 less catches than he did last year. He had 90. He had 77 this year. But up the yardage, 1,104 yards for Greg Olsen, 7 TDs on 123 targets. And when you talk about Gary Barnidge and Olsen, they had three more targets than Rob Gronkowski. You look at Jordan Reed, only six less. Now, again, Gronkowski did miss a game. But my point being is these guys are legitimate threats to Rob Gronkowski. You will not have to pick Rob Gronkowski in the latter portion of the first or early portion of the second round anymore, with now some extra depth at the tight end position. Another guy who cashed in, did extremely well, and I like his prospects a whole lot. And I'm talking about Mr. Delanie Walker of the Tennessee Titans. 94 catches, 1,088 yards, 6 TDs on 134 targets. Had more targets than any tight end in fantasy football this year. Produced in a major way. And again, 94 catches. That's attractive. That's something that's going to make a fantasy owner just fall out of their seat when you got a tight end who's getting that many targets and able to give you those type of numbers. Again, a few more TDs and he's bumped up the ranks, but he's a guy that I really, really like. And with Marcus Mariota at quarterback, a young guy who's extremely accurate with the football, very tight end friendly, Delanie Walker is a staple now in your offense. I get very excited when I talk about Delanie Walker and the things that he could do for your football team. Tyler Eifert of the Cincinnati Bengals, if it weren't for injuries, he very well may have led the NFL in TD receptions. He had 13 on 52 catches, 615 yards. Now, by far, he's got the least amount of totals. When you talk about these top tight ends, Gronkowski, Jordan Reed, Gary Barnidge, Greg Olsen, Delanie Walker, the two who are after him, Travis Kelce, Benjamin Watson, all of those guys, 100-plus targets. Eifert, only 72. 52 catches, 615 yards, but it shows you the power of the touchdown. Those 13 touchdowns is what's got him ranked six. And again, if it weren't for injuries, he's another guy that probably missed about four games due to injuries. He certainly would have higher numbers. He's another guy, young Andy Dalton. They're building their chemistry. He's a big-time threat in the red zone. Tyler Eifert had a monster year. Travis Kelce just spoke on him. Quieted down the stretch. Certainly, I think made owners a little bit leery. But 72 catches for 875 yards, certainly nothing to sneeze at. Those five TD receptions, that's the number that has them ranked a little bit lower. But I think all things considered, especially in PPR, Travis Kelce's a guy, along with Alex Smith, is going to continue to remain a safety ball. And, you know, I think as he gets better, his numbers will improve a tad bit as well. And then I mentioned Benjamin Watson. Where did he come from? Certainly a breakout candidate. Another guy older in his career. He was with the New England Patriots to start his career, you know, close to, you know, 7 to 10 years ago. And here he is now, 2015, excellent campaign, 74 catches, 825 yards, 6 TDs on 109 targets. Drew Brees looking his way a lot. And you got to be impressed. Ben Watson was a guy that nobody was talking about. We all thought that his name is now escaping me, the other tight end for the Saints. We all thought he was the pass receiving tight end. He was a guy who stood to kind of hold the most ground, Josh Hill, that's his name, with Jimmy Graham gone, but it's Benjamin Watson, and, man, you got to be impressed. Those tight ends I just named, all of those guys, 100 points or more in fantasy football. Your honorable mentions go to Richard Rodgers. Not big numbers, 58 catches, 510 yards, but the 8 TDs, that's the number that's got him ranked here inside of the top 10. Zach Ertz, a very quiet year until the tail end of the season, 75 catches, 853 yards. I think those are numbers that you respect, but the low TD total with only 2 is something that he's going to have to improve on. A couple of veterans here to round it out for you. Antonio Gates, Jason Witten. Gates, 630 yards on only 5 catches. Just getting older, starting to wear down at 2 TDs. That's certainly not a 5 TDs, a number much lower than you want. And then Jason Witten, obviously with Tony Romo not there, the carousel they had at quarterback. It's amazing to me. I didn't even realize 77 catches, 713 yards. But again, he's always a guy, low TD totals. That ultimately is what kind of staves you away from him. Just a couple quick notes before we get out of here. And again, all of these positions, I keep emphasizing that to you, quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight end. We're going to go in depth with these positions on the Facebook page, on some other segments on the NFL Exporter website. But that's going to wrap up the show today as far as the positions are concerned. A couple takeaways. Now, I've got quite a few. Again, I'm going to be saving these for the website, for the Facebook page. And then I've got a couple more shows of the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show. The last show of the season is Sunday, January 24th, 1 p.m. from Dave and Buster's. It's going to be a live broadcast in Los Angeles, California. So stay tuned and be looking forward for that. But a couple of takeaways, and in no particular order, handcuffing running backs is going to be more important than ever next year. There's no doubt about that. With the way that these injuries ran rampant and the way that these backups were able to come in and produce like a starter, put up starter numbers, you know, you didn't see a huge drop-off. It used to be, you know, if a starter went down, you know, maybe instead of, you know, 120 all-purpose yards and a potential TD, now you're hoping for, you know, 75 all-purpose yards and a TD. No, this year, D'Angelo Williams and Thomas Rawls and David Johnson and, you know, DeJuan Harris and, my God, I mean, the list just is so long. These backups came in this year and just played extremely well. Tim Hightower comes to mind. And, man, it's going to be so important to get the handcuffs to your running back, because if they go down, you do not want to put yourself in a position where you're rolling the dice, caught up in where you are in the waiver wire order, and miss out. So you're going to have to protect your interest. It's something that we did emphasize this year, but I'm putting much more emphasis on it for next year. It's all about matchups. That's another takeaway. Fantasy football is no longer leave a guy in your lineup for 17 straight weeks. You really have to be conscious of matchups. Look at Adrian Peterson this year. His 2 games against the Seattle Seahawks, who are the top running defense in the NFL. Peterson had 31 carries for less than 75 yards. That's a matchup you want to stay away from. Look at the quarterback situation this year. You know, if you were playing against Denver, if you were playing against Arizona, you've got to be careful. You know, playing against Carolina, you cannot stick any quarterback in against any defense. You've got to play the matchups. And then running back by committee, is that going to be something that is more of a precedence in fantasy football next year? Again, injuries ran rapid. We've seen a lot of committee approaches this year. A guy who's used for running, a guy is used for receiving, this guy is used for short yardage. So, you know, you want to try to stay away from that as much as possible. But again, if you look at, you know, guys like Thomas Rawls, guys like Jeremy Langford, guys like Sharkhandrick West and Spencer Ware out in Kansas City, you know, a guy like Tim Hightower, a guy like D'Angelo Williams in Pittsburgh, you know, these guys showed a hell of a lot of talent. And I don't think these coaches are just going to let these guys sit on the sideline and turn into cold turkey. So I think the running back by committee situation is something that we're certainly going to be keeping a very close eye on. And again, it kind of ties into the handcuff situation. I think as an owner, you're going to get forced into getting a handcuff and making sure you got that starting running backs backup, because I think the committee approach is something that, especially with the way these injuries hit hard this year, is something that owners are definitely going to have to be very leery about. I'm going to go ahead and throw one more one at you real quick, and that was running backs who get volume. And since we were talking running backs, might as well go ahead and throw one more at you. Running backs who get volume produce, and that's why the running back position is going to remain the first position drafted off the board. It's still going to remain the highest premium. The wide receiver position and now even the tight end position has taken a huge expansion. And so the one thing that we did know in fantasy football this year, it could be a very good running back. A guy like Jeremy Hill, he's got some talent. He's young, hit the sophomore slump, struggled a tad bit, but he did not get the full workload, and it really hurt him. I think you look at some guys, again, look at what Jeremy Langford did when he got the full workload with Matt Forte out. Look at the damage to Thomas Rawls, David Johnson, D'Angelo Williams. When a running back is getting the full workload, he's going to produce. So dual threat running backs, guys who can get it done on the ground and out of the backfield, are going to hold a high premium. And then guys who are just heavily involved in the offense, you're going to need that assurance that your running back weekly is at least getting 17 to 22 carries/touches. That's what gets it done in fantasy football. All right, look, that's going to wrap up part one of our three-part series of the year-end 2015 fantasy football show with the NFL Exporter. Don't forget, just keep a track. Go to NFLExporter.com. The schedule right now is varying due to I have a lot of special guest appearances on other shows and a lot of year-end wrap-up. Make sure you check me out on the Firehouse on Blaze One Radio. I talk more, a little bit more straight NFL football. Also, don't forget to check out our Pure NFL page. We're going to be doing our year-end wrap-ups for the 11 NFL teams that we cover here. So a lot of work is being done. The schedule's not consistent, but just make sure you go to NFLExporter.com. Make sure you stay in tune on the Facebook page and Twitter. Again, that's Facebook.com/NFLExporter. Follow me on Twitter at NFLExporter. The spelling is NFLExporter for both of those. And then you can also hit me up at info@NFLExporter.com if you have any questions. It was a great show today. Look forward to getting with everybody on Facebook in the last few shows that we have to bring an official close to the 2015 fantasy football season. As always, I'm your host signing out, the NFL Exporter 1100.